good friend and neighbor. This is Phil Nee, and I hope all your trails are happy until we talk again later from WRCO-FM in Richland Center. We'll put our little records away and bring on the news update, followed by today's morning show. This news from ABC is sponsored by Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service, serving Southwest Wisconsin since 1889, and the Phoenix Center, family fun at its best. There's always something for everyone, including bowling, legendary pizza, and video games.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. We can talk about health care after the government reopens. That from Senate Majority Leader John Thune telling MSNBC he has offered Democrats a vote on extending Obamacare subsidies. But he continues to insist that the government must be reopened before those conversations can happen. As immigration raids continue, some police departments are taking money to partner with ICE. But not in Dallas.
We were offered $25 million to be a part of 287G.
Says Dallas Police Chief Daniel Como.
And we said absolutely no. Turned it down.
184 agencies in Texas and the state DPS itself have said yes.
ABC's Jim Ryan. In Chicago, immigration agents have demanded passports and visas from legal residents as proof of identity. President Trump says he's considering ground strikes in Venezuela to take out drug cartels. It was pneumonia that claimed Diane Keaton at age 79, reports People magazine. This is ABC News. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu today at a state ceremony for fallen soldiers from October 7th when Hamas fighters invaded Israel. The memorials, delayed by a religious observance last week, Netanyahu vowing to, as he put it, complete the victory. On the streets of Gaza, video appears to show the militants carrying out a public execution. Hamas said it has now returned the remains of all the Israeli hostages that it can find amid the destruction. Pentagon reporters surrendered their passports rather than agree to clear their stories first with Secretary Pete Hegseth. Police in Odessa, Florida, arresting two suspects in a home invasion where husband and wife were carjacked after they were tracked by an air tag under their vehicle. In the end, technology saved the couple, says Chief Joseph Moore.
You know, unbeknownst to the suspects, the victims had a home alarm, and he didn't deactivate it.
That from Odessa, Florida. I'm Wayne Cabot, ABC News.
Are you looking for the perfect Friday night fish dinner? The Phoenix Center in Richland Center has you covered. Every Friday, starting at 4 p.m., they serve up delicious deep-fried or baked fish. Dine in or take it to go. Open every day at 11 a.m., the Phoenix Center is still your local favorite for food, fun, and family time. From mouth-watering pizza to a night of bowling, it's the go-to destination for good times and great meals. Call 649-7469 to order from the Phoenix Center.
We can't change the circumstances or magically erase the pain of loss, but we can listen and serve you with compassion and understanding at a time when compassion and understanding go a long way. I'm Darren Klingman of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service of Richland Center in Muscadet. Our promise to you is to be patient, considerate, and professional, serving you as you wish to be served. It's our priority since 1889 at the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service.
Thanks to the Schultz Mortgage Team for sponsoring WRCO Hometown Weather Watch. Call 608-738-8765 to learn how you can buy a home with less than 20% down.
A high temperature in the mid-60s today with patchy light showers or sprinkles. For tonight, drizzle or sprinkles early, mostly cloudy and mild, and a low of 56. Friday, breezy and warmer, a few breaks of sunshine possible, and a high of 77. Saturday, variable clouds and mild with isolated showers during the day, then more widespread at night, and a high of 70. Showers ending in the morning Sunday and 57 degrees.
This week at Macy's, it's the best time to save on fall styles at our biggest fall sale. Find the classic brown boots and preppy Mary jeans that everyone's wearing. Luxurious cashmere and wool sweaters. Even better, it's our lowest prices of the season on diamond jewelry, now 50 to 75% off, over half off. Don't miss your chance to save big on the looks you need now at Macy's biggest fall sale. Tomorrow, savings off select styles. Exclusions apply.
This is Mark Jelenic of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service. We understand the loss of a loved one is a complicated and very stressful time for surviving family members. We pride ourselves on making final arrangements convenient and stress-free. Our services and memorial facilities have been designed with your family's comfort and convenience in mind. We are equipped to meet all of your requests, allowing you time to connect with family and friends while celebrating and reflecting on your loved one's life. The Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service's dedicated funeral directors and staff are here for you.
Badgerland Flooring of Southwest Wisconsin was started in 2008 with a goal of helping Richland County and the surrounding areas with all their flooring needs. Since then, our business has expanded from our showroom to the variety of work by offering full kitchen and bathroom remodels, tiled walk-in showers, along with quartz, laminate, and granite countertops. After 17 years, we still say, if you can dream it, we can build it. So stop in or call us today and let Badgerland Flooring of Southwest Wisconsin make your dreams become reality.
Make TC Auto Works your one-stop shop for all your automotive needs. Whether it's an oil change, tires, complex repairs, or time to purchase your next vehicle, you can trust TC Auto Works for great service and sales. You'll find a selection of quality pre-owned vehicles. See a salesperson for details. View their full inventory at tcautoworks.com. TC Auto Works, 1201 Highway 14 East, Richland Center, 383-1700.
Have you been meaning to get a quote with Julie Karen State Farm? Maybe need a nudge? Now's the perfect time. State Farm's auto rates have had a rate decrease in the state of Wisconsin. That means more savings for families, farmers, and neighbors across our community without losing the trusted protection and personal service you deserve. It's easy to start a quote at juliekarens.com or call or text the office today. See how much you could save with this new auto rate decrease. Local, reliable, and always here for you in our community. Just like a good neighbor.
The Morning Show on WRCO FM 100.9 and WRCO.com, featuring real community conversations that matter to our community. The WRCO Morning Show studio is proudly sponsored by Richland Hospital, caring for the health of our community. Scott Industries, enjoy building strong futures. Osborne Stump Removal, clearing the way for what's next. And Sean's Auto Repair, keeping you on the road with service you can trust.
On our morning show from WRCO Radio, we're going to talk about Richland Center Pumpkin Fest on the first half here, and we're going to talk about the upcoming Simon's Recreation Run and Walk as well as a part of Pumpkin Fest. Suzanne Anderson is back with us today, along with Mike Hardy and Kyle Ewing from the Simon's Recreation Complex. Suzanne, you were just here a little bit ago with the kids.
Yes. Good morning, Phil. How are you doing today?
You're back with some other kids today. They're a little older.
Oh, yeah. They're kids to me.
Yeah, me too. So how are things coming along for Pumpkin Fest plans?
Things are really ramping up for the third annual Richland Center Pumpkin Fest. This Saturday is the free pumpkin giveaway at the fire station from 9 to 12. So come on out, get the pumpkin that you're going to decorate and take it home, decorate it, and bring it back on the 22nd to the courthouse lawn. But our pumpkins this year are generously donated by Andy and Sue Hofer, Chicken Ridge Farm, and Woodland Valley Nursery and Farm up in Laval. So we have three really nice, generous people that donate lots and lots of pumpkins. And you can't come out to get pumpkins to decorate your house, but you can come out to get your pumpkin to decorate for Pumpkin Fest.
What have you heard from those vendors? Has it been a good year for growing pumpkins?
Yes, much better this year than last year. Last year, I think it was a little too wet, maybe. And this year has been perfect. So everybody has a good abundance of pumpkins. So we're looking forward to giving away all the pumpkins that people need.
I can't think of a better family activity than that. Can you?
Oh, it's awesome. It's going to be awesome. So when you come back and Decorate your pumpkin. You're going to bring it back to the courthouse lawn on Wednesday, October 22nd, between the hours of 3 and 6:30. We'll check you in. You can either register online at our Pumpkin Fest Facebook page, or you can print one off and grab a registration form, and you can get it filled out the day of that you bring your pumpkin. So either way, everything's free to enter, so bring it out. You'll also receive a Christie's cupcake when you enter, and a hot dog donated by Walmart. So we've got some really great sponsors. Also, Oakwood Fruit Farm has donated some apples for us that evening, and we're just going to have a great time that night registering all the pumpkins.
And that's coming up next Wednesday then, right?
Next Wednesday. It'll be Wednesday the 22nd through the 26th. The pumpkins will remain on the courthouse lawn for anybody to view and come down and look at. So Saturday, we have, of course, Mike and Kyle here to talk about the run, and I will let them do that. But Saturday, we've got a lot of activities after the run right down on the courthouse lawn. We'll have a petting zoo, and that's going to be sponsored by Christy Sunnyside, Edward D. Jones, Katie Bedward, and Twin Pines Ridgetop Airbnb, Sheila Troxel and family. So we so appreciate everybody's commitment to that. The Tiny Acres will be down there with their petting zoo. We'll have 4-H Club selling caramel apple slices, which will be delicious. Key Club will have kids games that day, and Schmidt Woodland Hills and Discovery Play School will have a bake sale down there that day. There's also a coloring contest going on online. You can grab your coloring contest template from either the Brewer Library or get it online, and that deadline is today. And get your coloring pages to the Brewer Library today's deadline, and that it will be judged on. You'll get prizes for that too.
When will you find out the prizes for the coloring contest then?
Oh, I'm not sure about that. I can't remember when that's going to be, but we'll get you the information on our Facebook page.
Sometime next weekend, I'm guessing. So.
Yes.
Yeah, so it stretches out for all kinds of activities, but the prime day is Saturday, it sounds
like. Prime day is Saturday, and that's what we're so excited this year to have the Simons joining us, and they've organized a super awesome run, and there's going to be something for everyone. Please consider coming in costume. That will be so fun. They have prizes, too, so I'll let them talk about that, but it'll be a really awesome day.
Great. Kyle, welcome back to the Morning Show Studios.
Hey, thanks for having me.
We talked a little bit ago about it. It seemed like a long ways off, but here it is next weekend already.
Yeah, it's going to be a busy weekend in town, that's for sure. The 5K, 10K, and the walk are going to start at 9 o'clock on that Saturday morning. Well, let me back up. The first event starts at 9, so the 10K will start at 9. These are our newly established start times. As you can see, like what we have posted was just 9 o'clock start time, but the 10K will start at 9, the 5K will start at 9:15, and then the walk will start at 9:30. Going to stagger them a little bit in hopes that we can kind of somewhat finish everybody roughly about the same time, because we'll do the awards. I think tentatively we're planning for 10:30. We're hoping for that good weather. Like we were talking, it's supposed to be a nice day. At least it'll be, you've got some other places to kind of walk around and see that day. You'll be able to get into Simons for free. We're going to actually have the gym open, the UW Richland gym, so people can kind of go in there and walk around as we kind of start to use that a little bit more. And then our foundation is going to be grilling up some brats, and someone was generous enough to donate brats for this event. So we're hoping if you finish the race a little bit early and you're waiting for the awards or something like that, you can get some brats and some other treats as we wait for the award ceremony.
Sounds like a lot of fun. And,
yeah.
You're going to hit a home run in terms of colors, because there's still going to be a lot of color in the hills, I think.
Yeah, it's going to be, I mean, it's the ideal time to run a 5K, 10K, or even go for a walk. So it's going to be pretty awesome. We're going to have our fancy new timing system with the chip. So it'll be official, no standing out there with the old school clocks waiting for everybody to cross or anything like that. So that usually gets people pretty excited. So
that's been utilized a couple other times this year too, hasn't it?
Yep. So three groups went together to purchase it. It was, those can be pretty pricey if anybody knows anything about timing systems and how they work. So three groups went together and now it's our turn to use it. So
have you found that to be, people seem to like it. It's gone over pretty well.
Yeah. And it's definitely worth the cost. I mean, just it's a lot of work to set up and get ready for, but once you're there, you know how it works. It takes a lot of the extra work with, you know, getting everyone's time down, and it's just a lot more professional. It looks a lot better than just maybe four or five people out there standing with clocks and trying to read your time off one big giant clock at the finish line. So
how does that work to make it official? Where's the chip located, and how does it time?
Yep. So everybody will get a bib. I'm sure people have seen those before at 5K events. So inside the bib that people get that will register is a little chip of some sort. I don't even know how that necessarily works, but when that chip crosses the finish line, the timer essentially starts, and then when they cross it again, it stops. So it's not necessarily on the, you know, the go that you'd hear the gun for like a track race or whatever. It's kind of when you cross and then when you cross again. So
that makes it more fair, because if you're way in the back when you start,
yes, exactly. Because if you get a long line of people that, you know, we have 20, 30 almost 5Kers, you know, if you're a competitive 5K-er and you get there, you know, a little bit late, you get stuck at the back of the pack, and then you got to walk, you know, work your way through people. It makes it a lot more fair. So
yeah. But don't cross the line, go back and then cross again. And,
yeah.
You know,
yeah. We were experimenting with that last night to make sure we weren't going to have any of those errors. We were taking a few of the bibs across the finish line to make sure we weren't going to have anything. So we think we got all those kinks worked out. This is third time's a charm, right? So this is the third time we'll be using it. And even the other groups, you know, the people that work with us, it's still a learning process for sure. So
the bibs get saved for every race then, right? How does that work?
No, I mean, it'd be nice if people wanted to give them back, because they are kind of pricey, but, you know, generally at 5K events, you just keep your bib. A lot of people will, you know, maybe put them in a frame, or it depends on the event, obviously, and what it means to you, but people will pin them up at home or whatever. But yeah, you don't have to return it. It's not a chip where, like, you know, you got to pay $20 if you don't give it back or anything like that. It's just included with the purchase, so.
Well, you have t-shirts for the event?
Yep, t-shirts. So far, we've got enough for everybody who pre-registered. We have some extras in case, so got plenty of t-shirts. We've got quite a few people registered already. We know, though, most people are going to wait and see what the weather does. I mean, I know I would do the same exact thing. I don't want to, you know, pay $40 or $50, depending upon what you're going to do, to not be able to run that day because it's pouring down rain. So I'm pretty happy with the amount of people we have already. I think it's going to be about as big as the Grace race that used it already, and then the National Night Out. So,
wow.
And they had a couple hundred, give or take, at both those events. So I think we'll get close to that.
Great. Suzanne, you've already given us the forecast for next weekend, right? It says it's good, right?
I hope so. Yes, I hope it is 68 degrees and sunny. Yeah. That would be nicer for me to walk to.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
I will be in costume. I don't know what yet.
You're going to wear a costume?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. I always see these costumes in these races, and I wonder how comfortable they are.
Yeah, so these guys have prizes for, like, even dogs in costumes. So we encourage everybody to get out there and wear whatever silly thing they want to wear. I think you might have seen me in the homecoming parade. I was an ear of corn, so it was pretty hot in there that day. But I don't know if I'm going to bring the corn back or if I'm going to run in something different.
That day of the homecoming parade, the corn could have popped, I think, right?
I actually made that joke along the way. I'm actually going to be popcorn by the time I get finished here.
Mike Hardy, why is it important for Simon's Recreation Complex to get involved in events like this?
Well, you know, obviously this is it's a fitness-themed event, and that's kind of what our main goal is to get people out there, to get families out there having a good time, and fitness, both mental and physical fitness, as well as being social in the community, I think is important. And you know, joining in with the Grace race and the National Night Out, we're kind of the third race in that series, and working with those teams as well. Kyle and Lydia have both worked with those races as well, with Alan Kashubsky, who's kind of behind getting this whole timing system in here and getting these races going. But it's good to not only for our area residents, but also to draw some people in. So we're hoping to draw some outside people in and bring them into town. And like you say, the colors are going to be really nice this year. It's a little bit delayed this year, so it works out perfect for this weekend. And people, there's a lot going on that weekend. And you know, if they want to run, great, you know, run. But we also, like Kyle was saying, we've got our open house and everything's free admission. So walk the trails, go through the gym, jump in the pool. We've got a lot going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good day to kind of just look things over if you've not been there before, or if you haven't been there for a while, right?
Yeah, that's true. It is. And we'll have membership specials going on as well, trying to get people to see what's new out at Simon's. And we do have a lot of door prizes, so we've got some local businesses as well as some sport teams, the Madison Mallards, the Green Bay Packers, and some other sports teams have sent us some things for our door prizes as well. So we'll have some good things going on out there.
Awesome. Kyle mentioned the gym. You guys are starting to utilize the campus gym then a bit?
Yep, we are. If you follow us on Facebook, you'll see we're starting to post a little bit of information about that. Starting after Pumpkin Fest, so the last week in October, we're looking at starting our open house, open gym programs. So we've got preschool open gym times that we'll have available. We've got open gym walking for people that want to come in and walk and use the gym for walking. We've got a group that will be doing open gym pickleball. So we do have pickleball equipment, and if you don't have pickleball equipment, we do have stuff that can be checked out as well. And then, of course, basketball. So we are looking at firming up some of those times right now. Tentative dates out there, but we will be starting that again the last week in October, and we'll be running that through the winter as well.
Very important, especially for those who want to get out and walk in the winter, and if the weather is inclement, a great opportunity there if you can utilize the gym, right?
Yeah, that's one of our big requests is, you know, people want to keep walking. Obviously, we've got great trails around here to walk around and see the great scenery. But again, when temperatures drop, you know, below 20, below zero at times, people want to be inside. And some of the facilities that we do have, like the community center, and they're just overwhelmed a lot of times. And many times from what I've been told by walkers is they get bumped out of that place. So they're happy to have another place, another option that they can go to.
Very good. So the 5K and the 10K going on that Saturday, and then you'll have some events leading up to it. And it looks like it's an all-day affair there.
Yeah, all-day thing. You know, again, after the race, there's plenty going on around town. Again, down at the courthouse, they've got a ton of things going on. I should mention that the Simon's Recreation Complex Foundation is kind of overseeing the brats that Kyle had talked about and grilling out brats and that, and there'll be a fundraiser for them. The other fundraiser that the foundation is doing was a letter writing campaign, getting donations, and that was going through the entire month of October, so that's still going on for another week and a half or so. They've raised just over $100,000 now, $101,000 they're at. Their goal is $125,000, so we still have a week and a half left to get that. So, and that, again, will help make additional improvements as well, and the foundation is kind of partnering with us during this event, too, to sell brats and help out that way as well. But yeah, a lot going on, and we're trying to make it a fun event. Like we'd mentioned, we've got medals for the top three finishers in different categories of the 5K and the 10K. And we do have, you know, people that show up for costumes, who had mentioned show up in your costumes, and we are looking for that to be a fun thing. And we added a dog costume, so we'll have an award for the best dressed dog. So people that do bring their dogs, you know, please make sure that they're comfortable around people so they're not going to cause problems that way, but dress them up and bring them up and they can win a prize. And we also have prizes for best overall, best kids costume, best group costume. So if we have a family or a group of friends that come and want to dress up as the Scooby-Doo gang or something, you know, go for that. And then most original and funniest. So we'll have one of our staff members will be out there taking pictures, and then we'll vote on those. And by the end of the race, we'll have those prizes to give out as well.
Sounds like you're going to need a lot of volunteers to put this on, aren't
volunteers,
you?
Yeah. We do have several volunteers, but anyone else that's not interested in running but wants to be involved, give us a call, and we'll find a place for you to volunteer with us as well.
You mentioned the foundation and their goal. Is the money earmarked for anything in particular, Mike, or are you looking at some things just down the road for general operating?
They've pretty much got a couple of categories that they're really pushing for now. One is their endowment fund. They do have a little over $100,000 in their endowment fund. And what the endowment fund does is the amount donated never gets spent. So it's always the interest that's spent. So the goal there is to raise at least $1 million in endowment funds. So, for example, 5% is kind of the rate of return that's kind of expected. So on $1 million endowment fund, you're bringing in about $50,000 a year. So that $50,000 every year is spent on, you know, something, whether it's new equipment, whether it's facility upgrades, whether it's a future addition, that type of thing. So we are looking at, or the foundation is looking at building that endowment fund. So that's one area that people can donate towards. The other area is general unrestricted donations, which would be kind of at the board's discretion, and that might be replacing treadmills, replacing weight equipment, buying new equipment for the swimming pool, that type of thing. And that's kind of just to upgrade and keep our equipment upgraded and kind of, I guess, answering some of the requests from our members, what they're looking for. So, yeah.
And that equipment is not cheap, is it?
It's not cheap, and it also, like anything with moving parts and motors, wears out. So, you know, there's a limit with it, and especially if it's commercial, it's usually built a little bit tougher, but it also costs a little bit more. But there is a lot more wear and tear on it, obviously, as well. Especially as we get into winter, there's salt. People are tracking in salt, and so there's a lot more wear and tear that goes into equipment that way. So, and we've got you know, a lot of older equipment that we've been working on replacing. The foundation's really helped us out a lot with that. We're also bringing in a lot of inclusive type equipment, which we were able to do in the last couple of years, to be able to be more used by a greater audience that come into Simons.
Awesome. Kyle, what's the route for the 5K, 10K? Is that changed?
Mike's the mastermind behind the route. Oh. He would. I do know the route, but I think he could explain it maybe a little bit better than I could.
Mike?
Yeah, so the route is actually, it's on our, all the routes are on our website. So if you go to simonsrec.com and you go to our events, those maps are available there. But I can say the walk is a 1.5-mile walk. Basically, they all start and end at Simons. So the walk will go basically loop around the community center in Crosscut Park. So that's a 1.5-mile loop. The 5K actually runs out past on the dike path past the community center and out into Allison Park, does a loop, and then comes back again through Crosscut Park. The 10K is a fun one. So we wanted to kind of incorporate the cemetery in that one because it is Halloween time. So so we were able, because of the distance, we were able to get the cemetery involved in that. So basically that one's running from Simons up to the cemetery and through the cemetery. It is daytime, so don't worry. The evil spirits don't come out till after dark, so you should be okay on that. But running through the cemetery and then out past the fairgrounds and through the industrial park, and then back through Crosscut Park and back to Simons. So that'll be a fun route, I think. There are a few hills in there. We were talking about that a little this morning, but it is Richland Center, so you can't go too far without running into a hill. So
exactly.
That just makes it more scenic. So.
Yeah, and some people really like the challenge, too,
oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Do you run up the hill at the cemetery then? Is that,
yep,
is that
on, you'll the, be, yeah, running up, yeah.
That's pretty steep.
All the way into the cemetery. Yeah, by that time, you know, you're not quite halfway through. But once you get to the hill out by the industrial park, that's pretty much your halfway point. So once you get past that hill, you know you're pretty much on the downhill side.
Ah, sounds like a lot of fun.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
For you and your pets, right?
Yes, exactly, yeah.
And then, Kyle, there's a big pool party going on.
Yeah, pool party. If anybody's looked at our flyers or anything online, it has changed slightly. The pool party is still 1 to 4, but on our flyers it says non-members will be $5 each. The Campus Foundation has been generous enough to cover the costs, so the pool party will be free for anyone. The pool floaties will be in, you know. Those are a big hit. I know we've talked about those quite a bit. So, you know, even if you're done with the race and maybe you want to pop in, and we'll probably have them in a little bit early anyways. So, you know, maybe you're finally a chance for some of the adults. We get a lot of adults that ask me, like, hey, can I rent this for a few hours and get some of the, you know, like the aqua aerobics group in the morning. Like, I wonder if they would want to get on there and play. So maybe that's a chance for the adults to use them too. I don't know. I know you mentioned earlier replacing a lot of equipment. I kind of wanted to touch on what we were finding when we were replacing equipment was the cost to haul away the old equipment didn't seem hardly worth it. It's very expensive to haul away some of the older stuff. And so we thought, well, maybe we could silent auction just some of the other stuff off, because then at least then we're not paying the fee to get rid of the old stuff. So we'll have some of the older equipment that hasn't been used for a while in the gym as part of a silent auction. So maybe you want to go in the gym after your race and find an old treadmill in there you want to maybe get a deal on or something like that. So yeah, some of that stuff will be in there too. We're hoping that'll draw some people in too. Maybe if you don't want to run, you don't want to go in the pool, maybe you're looking for something like that. There'll be a wide range of things in there for, I guess you would say, weight equipment-wise or cardio equipment-wise, too.
Sure. Yeah, for the bargain hunters.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, hopefully it doesn't keep them out of the building, but yeah. And it's a good chance for us to clean house a little bit. There's a lot of old equipment that you never know, somebody might want.
Right. And I'm guessing you have to upgrade every so often as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a constant. I mean, the building is very busy, and those treadmills, I mean, you name it, they're just used. You know, the cardio equipment really takes a beating, you know, when people are on a treadmill almost, you know, I don't know, 12 plus hours a day. They don't really last all that long. So, yeah.
Do you and Mike become repairmen sometimes, though?
Yes, definitely. Yeah, yeah, that happens a lot. Yeah.
Read the manual and figure out what's going on.
Yeah, frequently. Yeah, that happens a lot.
Wow. Sounds like all the ducks are in a row here, so to speak, Suzanne.
Awesome. Yes. I just wanted to mention, too, that when I reached out to Mike Hardy about this event, there was no hesitation. Like, Mike just immediately said, oh, yeah, we can do that. No big deal. And I've been like, wow, this is fantastic. So I just really super appreciate them for being so accommodating and being so professional. And this race is like beyond my expectations of what to expect. They've got it organized. They're good. They're top-notch organizers. This is going to be fun. So my perfect day would be go down, look at your pumpkin in the morning, go down to the Simons, get in your race, get finished, go on over to the Phoenix Center where they're giving you a free beverage after the race. You'll get a little ticket in your swag bag from the race, and then I would go down and look at the pumpkins again, and then do all the activities on the courthouse lawn, then turn around, go right back to Simon Center for the pool party Halloween open house, the Pumpkin Fest open house down there, and then on the next day, if you didn't get to see everything, go back to the Simon's open house the next day on Sunday. So we have a whole bunch of things happening, and it's just really exciting. It's so awesome to have them with us partnering this year. We hope that they want to do this every year. They've got it very organized. So I sure hope they do. It's going to get bigger and better. The t-shirts, I guess, are outstanding. And everybody that signed up will be so excited to get that and run and just have such a good family fun time.
Yeah, good point, Mike, that it's not just Saturday for Simons. You guys will be open again on Sunday.
Yeah. We'll be doing our open house both days. And again, we'll have some membership specials there as well for people that might be interested in a membership. Our clothing is going to be 10% off. So, you want to grab a Simon sweatshirt or sweatpants or something like that. And it's a good time to meet our staff and kind of see what's going on, see what fitness programs we've got going on, and just take a tour of the building. And for a lot of people that have been asking about the campus gym, this is your time to go see it. A lot of people probably haven't seen it for many years or maybe ever. So this is a good chance just to kind of see it and maybe throw the basketball around with your kids and just have a good time.
Yeah, the court's longer than the high school court, so you know you got to get a couple extra steps in when you run up and down the court, don't you?
Yeah, it is, and it's larger than the community center, and the pickleballers have noted that to us, so it's a little bit more space for their pickleball courts. So
I'll bet. Yeah, good stuff. And for the walk, run, the race, Kyle, it's all levels, right? It's somebody maybe a novice that's just getting started, and maybe somebody that's a pro too.
Absolutely. I mean, we've got kids that are so little we didn't actually even offer t-shirts that small. So, and up to, I think we have some in the 70 plus category. I mean, it's all over the place. I mean,
Do you have dog t-shirts in too? Or
No, a good idea. Huh. Maybe next year.
Well, an extra small one might fit the dog, depending on the dog.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, put that in the books for next year. Anything else anybody would like to add today?
No, I just want to mention thanks again to Simons for partnering with us for this event. Mike also let me know right ahead of today's broadcast that if you enter a pumpkin for the pumpkin decorating contest for the Wednesday, the 22nd, Simons will throw in a free pool pass as a little prize for you to come. You'll get a free hot dog, a Christie's cupcake, a free apple, and a free pool pass. So lots of good, fun family activities for everybody, and it doesn't cost anybody anything.
Yeah, just lots of fun. Yeah, good family event. And the swag bag is pretty cool, too, isn't it,
for the race? Oh, yeah, that'll be awesome to see what's in there.
You bet. All right, well, thanks for coming in, guys.
Thank you.
We'll keep reading a good forecast for you, Suzanne.
I hope so.
Pumpkin Fest next weekend. Thanks to Suzanne Anderson, Mike Hardy, and Kyle Ewing talking about the upcoming Pumpkin Fest in Richland Center next weekend.
At Rockwell Automation in Richland Center, they're more than a company, they're part of the community. Their team includes coaches, board members, firefighters, and EMTs. Neighbors helping neighbors. Now, Rockwell wants to connect with local nonprofit and 501c3 groups for volunteer and donation opportunities. If your organization would like to partner, call 647-9400. Rockwell Automation, ingrained in the community, dedicated to making a difference.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
This is Paul from Prescription Center. For over 40 years, we have been a trusted member of the health care of our community. We've always been here for everyone. From West Seminary Street, where it all started, to the hospital, and now to Sexsonville Road, we have provided honest advice, low prices, and with the help of many of our friends, a pay-it-forward account to help those that can't afford their medication. We are humbled by the trust we have earned. We have always made every effort to make pharmacy affordable to all. We accept all insurances because you deserve to have your plan honored. The only area pharmacy to take TRICARE and CHAMP VA. What better way to say thank you to those who served? We thank all for their trust. If you want this type of service, let us be your pharmacy of choice.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
Oakwood Fruit Farm is bursting with the flavors of fall. Check out Honeycrisp, Cortland Macintosh, and many more apples. The bakery's in full swing with fresh apple cider donuts, take and bake pies ready for your oven, gooey caramel apples. While you're there, stock up on fresh apple cider, cranberries, pumpkin, squash, and other seasonal treats. And here's the cherry. Oh, apple on top. Every Tuesday, take 10% off all apple purchases. Celebrate the taste of fall at Oakwood Fruit Farm, where every bite tastes like autumn.
Oakwood Fruit Farms, that's the one for family fun.
Fall season is here. Time to think about getting your car ready for winter. When was the last time you had your coolant checked or flushed, got a tune-up, or checked your tires or alignment? Hi, this is Sean from Sean's Auto Repair and Performance. Stop and see us for all your fall service needs. Whether it's cars, trucks, or SUVs, you'll get courteous, quality, professional service for imports and domestics. Call 608-649-AUTO. That's 649-2886. Sean's Auto Repair and Performance, 184 East Mill Street in downtown Richland Center. People who care about your car.
The Richland Hospital and Clinics is proud to offer personalized support for people with diabetes. Our team can help you set and track your health goals, practice fitting diabetes care into all parts of your life, and learn the knowledge, skills, and tools that will allow you to manage your care. Whether you are newly diagnosed or have been living with diabetes for years, we can help. Our services are covered by most insurance companies. Just ask to meet with a member of our Diabetes Education and Care team.
On our morning show today, a familiar face, familiar voice to the morning show. Joy Kirkpatrick is here, Farms Concession Outreach Specialist. Joy, good to have you back in the studio with us.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
And we have some things to talk about, some upcoming deadlines, cultivating your farm's future, and some virtual workshops. So you've got one coming up soon, don't you?
Yeah, we're taking a risk and hoping that the harvest is done because we're starting our first workshop series on November 13th. So those are virtual though. So you don't have to drive anywhere to be someplace as long as you're in front of a computer or your phone by 6:30 on Thursday evenings. That's when we're going to have that. So it's a series of four live virtual meetings. Assign a little bit of homework before. So it's usually something about maybe reading an article or listening or watching a video or maybe doing a worksheet. So the goal of this program is to get people thinking about what they want to do and maybe having those important conversations. And we try to give them a little bit of education, and then also an opportunity to have those conversations.
Being virtual, that's inviting because you don't have to, drive somewhere or take time off. You can do it right in the comfort of your own space, right?
Yeah, and it's interesting. The other thing that it helps with is if you have family members who are scattered across the country or across the state, and you would like them to also be a part of the program, they can join as well. And the way we encourage that by the way we've set up the registration, that the registration is $150 per farm, and that means that you can register as many people from your farm or family that you'd like, and if you give us their email and their mailing address, they'll also get some of the hard copy materials that we send to people so that they can do their worksheets and do, you know, have those materials. So everybody would get a learner's guide. Each farm would get a workbook and then another piece of materials. So we really are trying to make it accessible in that way. One of our first years that we did it, we had a farm that registered. The actual property was in the Boscobel area, and we had 10 family members join the Zoom from that one farm, and they came from joined from DC, New Jersey, all the way across to Seattle.
That is crazy.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. And so they all, and what's really helpful about that is that everybody hears the same thing and they have access to all the same materials. And then there are times that we wanted them to maybe talk with each other. We, with virtual programming, we could put them in a virtual breakout room. So it's just that family in there and having an opportunity to say, okay, we just learned about XYZ. How does that pertain or not pertain to our family or farm situation?
I see. And yeah, by breaking into another group, they can maybe come up with some questions that they'd like to ask.
Yeah, too, yeah, right? Exactly. So it's a really, we find that's really helpful. And like you said, you don't have to clean up. I mean, we'd love to have people have their cameras on, but we don't even require that. So if you want to, you know, be in your kitchen having supper while you're watching and participating, that's something we've even had. People had been cooking their meals while they've been watching and listening as well. And then the other thing that I found interesting is one of the years, when, you know, sometimes the topics can get a little personal, or, you know, when you think about succession planning, it's not just the technical details. It's not just the financials and the how to transfer assets. There's so much that people, I think farm families understand this. It's emotional. It's the legacy of that farm property. So it can get a little, I guess the word would be emotional sometimes. And with you being in your own home and being able to turn the camera off if you want to, what we found was that the conversation was really rich, that people shared things that I'm not sure that they would have felt as comfortable to share if they'd been a sort of a sterile meeting space with, you know, 30 other bodies in the room. So I think that in that particular topic that we were talking about, and it was about that idea of inheritance distribution and what's fair versus being exactly equal. People shared, I think, more readily and more deeply than they maybe would have in a series that they had to come together in a physical place.
This series is, what, 4 nights?
It's 4 nights, and then we have an optional session in, so 4 nights, it'd be the 13th of November, the 20th of November, and then we skip Thanksgiving, and then the 12th and 11th of December. So those are the 4 sort of standard sessions that we have. And then we have an optional additional session in January on the 15th, same time. It's a Thursday night from 6:30 to 8. And the for that one, it's more about if you want some help with some action planning. So we're giving you some time. We're giving you the information in November and December. You've got some time. Maybe you'll be interacting with your family over the holiday. And then if you're ready to say, okay, we need to put some plans, an action plan together. And that's what that optional follow-up is, that we'll have a conversation about, okay, what is it that you really want to do? We'll even help with what we call some of that accountability piece. Because I think that is a key thing for succession planning. It's one of those things that's super easy to put off. You can, you know, again, it's emotional, and so you might step away from it a little bit because that feels a little awkward. And also, everybody's got so many other things that need to be done on a farm that it's easy to set aside those things that don't feel as timely, right? We've got plenty of time to do that or make that decision or whatever. We need to do X, Y, Z this week. So it's easier to do those sort of operational decision-making. So when I say accountability, that's where I'm coming back to, is that accountability piece is if the farms that work with us and come to that planning session in January, we can say, okay, you've said that you want to do this thing by in 30 days, this one in 60 days, and then this thing in 90 days. And then we ask them how we, if they'd like us to follow up with them. And so it's a sort of a thing. If you know somebody's going to call or email or text you and say, hey, you said in 30 days you were going to try to make an appointment with an attorney, you know, just as an example of something that somebody might want to do. If you know that somebody's going to call and ask you that question, it might keep you on track a little bit more.
True. A good New Year's resolution then.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. That's perfect. This is perfect timing for thinking about if 2026 is your year to try to put your plan together. We've got a great way for you to get started on that.
The other million-dollar question, Joy, is at what age?
I mean, yeah,
because we all think of different ages, yeah. You know, like maybe 60 is the new 50 or something like that.
Yeah, if I were an attorney, I most likely would say everybody needs to do a little bit of some sort of planning. You know, as soon as you're an adult at 18, technically, your parents might not be the ones who get to make decisions for you if you were in an accident, right? You need those power of attorney for healthcare. You need powers of attorney for somebody to take care of your finances if you're not able to. You know, if you don't own a ton of assets, maybe you don't need a will. The state always has one for you if you don't have one, which basically, you know, there's like a whole sort of flow chart as to where your assets go to. If you don't have a spouse or children, it goes to your parents. If your parents are gone, there's, you know, goes to your siblings, all those sorts of things. That's that state plan. But if you don't want it to go the way that the state has it, then you need to have a will. But if you have assets, and you know, most farms have some assets, and you want to make sure that they go so that if your goal is that farm stays a business or that farm has a chance to stay in the family name, then you need to make some plans even in your 30s, just to make sure that you've got some things covered. If you have children that are under 18, you might need to nominate a guardian if the parents are gone. So there's all kinds of things that need to be done. The cultivating your firm's future specifically is about really, I will say that probably helps the most for farms who already have identified a successor or successors. So, because we really encourage those people to also be in on the conversation with this class if they can be. So it really, that's probably the target audience, is if you've already got a successor or successors, and you really need to be talking about not only how you want the assets to be moved, you need to talk about the thing that people forget about is, you know, that successor is going to want to start making some management decisions at some point. And when is that torch going to be passed on to that next generation? And are there some places where that successor can maybe take responsibility in one place, like maybe as the herds person or a crop manager, or maybe there's a new enterprise that they want to try? And, you know, is that a place where they can build their management skills stepwise? We always encourage the idea of like giving them an opportunity to make some decisions that give them learning opportunities. And if they make a bad decision is not going to totally crash down the whole business, right? Give them those sort of smaller opportunities if you can, and think about that. I think that that is one of the harder things for farms to sort of get their arms around. That owner generation has a lot of pride and has made a lot of right decisions to get to the point where they can talk about succession planning. And also I think this is the case in America, perhaps in the US. We're so identified by what we do that sense of identity. But even for farmers, I think it's even more so. Like, if they have grown up farming, been farming their entire adult life, for farming, it's not only your career, but it's your family. It's the lifestyle. Even, you know, we always say, well, is it a lifestyle farm or is it a business? I think it's both. You can't separate those a lot of times. And so it's your career, it's your lifestyle, it's your family, and it's your home, right? There's all of these things that wrap up to make it your identity. And so we really encourage that owner generation to think about how is it that they can be supportive of that next generation and also feel like they still have some sort of sense of purpose, whether it's still a part of the farm that they're a part of, or they find other activities that they find rewarding.
What's fair for each sibling, too, is yes. Another big topic.
We have a whole session on that one. So
I bet you do.
Yeah, and I could talk about it all day. It is so hard to... That is such a personal family decision, and there are factors that need to be weighed, and they can be different for every farm and every family. I will say we have some research. Well, we didn't do the research. Oklahoma State University did research that basically looked at a farm that had two children, and they framed it as a typical farm from like Kansas or Oklahoma, right? Because that's where they're, you know, doing the research. But basically looked at like over a 20-year span after a farm is split exactly equally between those two children. And if that on-farm child would need to have to purchase or somehow get access of those assets that went to the off-farm child. Over 20 years, when you think about all the cyclical nature of farming and the different markets and all that kind of stuff that happens, what's the chance that farm is still in business 20 years later? It's very low.
I bet.
Like almost zero. So that really tells us that if the goal is that the farm, if the goal of the family is that you want that farm to stay a farm, you want the assets to maybe stay in the family, there's probably going to have to be some conversation about it might not be equal, but if that on-farm child has helped build those parents' assets and wealth, or help preserve it in any sort of way, fair is maybe a better option than equal. And you have to also talk about if the value is that you want that farm to stay in the family or stay as a business, then there might need to be a conversation about what is that owner generation willing to put a monetary value on that. For example, let's say that for easy numbers, the land is now worth $10,000 an acre. But those parents or that owner generation know that they really want that farm to stay in business and they want it to stay in the family. It's really hard for a farm business right now to cash flow $10,000 an acre. I'm not sure it's just really hard. So that might mean that maybe there's going to be a discount for that next generation to either buy it from the parents or buy it from their siblings at the point that they need to do that. And that's what I mean by putting a monetary value on the value that they hold in their hearts that they want that farm to continue or to stay in the family.
All good discussions, though,
yeah.
You know, but unfortunately, it seems like at those times, it kind of brings out the worst in families sometimes, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I think that if it is more of the owner generation's responsibility to think it through and figure out how they think, like how they want it to have happen, and then have that conversation with everybody. And that's a big ask. That's part of the reason a lot of times these things don't happen is they don't want to have those conversations. They don't want to have to what they may be feeling is disappoint somebody, because the decision is, you know, you make one decision this way, it's going to disappoint somebody. Mm-hmm. You make it the other way, it's going to disappoint the other person. I think that But if the goal is, they really have to know what their goals are so that they can make the decisions that give them a better chance of reaching those goals. And the one thing that we always, when you think about, there are those professionals that help with this kind of work. You've got your attorneys, you've got your accountants, maybe a financial planner that you bring in there, you've got your lenders. But this kind of decision making for farms has to be kind of made at that farm level. They can't just, you can go in and ask the attorney, what should I do? They might give you a plan. But they're really going to want to know, well, what are your goals? And if you haven't had that conversation with your spouse or your other family members or your farm partners, you're going to have it in front of the attorney and that you're paying maybe by the hour. So that's why we're really encouraging people to learn about some of the strategies that we can offer, some of the steps that we can help you have those conversations, write down your notes from those conversations, and then you can have we feel more productive and efficient meetings with those professionals.
You have the two workshops coming up, the one in November. You have another one in early February, too. How are they different, Joy?
Yeah, the content is exactly the same.
Okay.
What we're doing is just offering the fact that if you're not done with harvest in November, you have another opportunity to do it in the dead of winter in February. So it's all the Thursday evenings in February. And then the follow-up optional session is going to be March 19th, which I realize we might be bumping up against the spring. Everybody thinks they're going to get in the field early, but we're hoping that March 19th is still a good timing for that optional. And it is an optional session for that planning piece. But the content, the materials, everything is exactly the same. We just wanted to try to squeeze in one here in the fall if we could, just to have more farms the opportunity to take this winter.
Is each Thursday night a different topic then, Joy?
Yeah, each Thursday night, one night it's communication and thinking about how you're going to communicate things as you're making this planning. Fair versus equal is one of the nights that we talk about a topic. We have Dr. Kevin Bernhardt from UW-Platteville, who is a farm management specialist. He talks a lot more about the financial component of, you know, what is it that you're asking the farm financially to do, and how do you evaluate, can it reach those financial goals? If you're bringing in somebody, a new person in, and they're going to need a wage or some sort of return on their labor and management, is the farm have the capacity to do that now? Or do you need to maybe tweak it a little bit or make some changes? So Kevin, Dr. Bernhardt talks a lot about how you do that analysis, and then, some ideas about moving forward with with that financial piece. And then the fourth night, people really enjoy, because it's sort of, they kind of like the technical nuts and bolts of that. And that's going to be Kelly Wilford, who is our an extension specialist, who's a colleague of mine, and she is an attorney. She works for Extension, so she doesn't practice as an attorney, but she still holds her attorney's license. So she talks about sort of that estate planning piece, and how do you decide what you know, she does a great job of walking through, you know, do you need a will? Do you need a trust? Like, what are the questions you need to ask yourself to help you guide you and sort of narrow down your options, so that you don't have to think of, like, you know, a smorgasbord of options of technical legal stuff. But if you know, like, I need to deal with, I may have an issue with taxes. I may have an issue with, I want to make sure that certain assets go to certain people. She touches a little bit on long-term health care as well, like how do you figure out if that's going to be a concern. And then she talks also about different business structures that may help you with a plan as you're moving forward to reach your goals. So that fourth night is a really chocked full of things. And all the way through, there's a little bit of homework that we'd really appreciate people do before they come to class, so that it's a much richer, better conversation as we do the activities and discussion during the class.
What are the deadlines coming up for the two different workshops?
Yeah, we have a registration deadline for the fall session is October 24th. And the best way probably to figure out how to register is if you just do a, in your browser search, Cultivating Your Farm's Future, Wisconsin Extension. It'll come up, and then you'll find a link that talks about the workshops. And within that link, there's an online registration link. You can always reach out to your local extension office, and they can help you with that. And they, if you have questions, the extension office can get you my email or my phone number. And if you have particular questions.